Let's press pause. I've got a 5-minute Jesus for you. The philosophical, scientific, and historical rationale for an openness to miracles, and the miracles of Jesus in particular, I think are pretty strong. I mean, if you don't believe in God, of course, no amount of evidence is going to convince you that a miracle can take place. But if, like most people in Australia and the US and around the world, you do think there's a mind behind the laws of nature, that's what the laws of nature point to, then you at least can be open to the possibility that those laws are God's laws, and he can work in and through them to do things that are surprising to us, a miracle. Curiously, virtually every historian working on the history of Jesus, regardless of faith or skepticism, agrees that Jesus did things everyone at the time thought were miracles. The evidence is overwhelming on the historical front. But there's an aspect of the Jesus story, and of the healings in particular, that is often overlooked. It's not really philosophy or history. It's to do with the meaning of the healings, according to the Gospels. And we have pretty good evidence of what Jesus' own perspective was on the miracles of Jesus. I mean, on the one hand, Jesus' healings are acts of compassion and authority. And there are many texts in the Gospels that make those two points. But Jesus gave his miracles a more theological interpretation, if that's the right word to use. According to Jesus' own words, his healings are a reversal of the curses of the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. This may sound weird, but it's a particularly important interpretation in the discussion of the life of Jesus. And before his death, John the Baptist learned about Jesus' increasing fame and sent Jesus a question. Basically, are you the one? And so there's this passage in Matthew 11 and Luke 7, which comes from their shared source, which scholars call Q. Don't worry about the details. That goes like this. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? And Jesus replied in these choice words, go back and report to John what you see and hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. Now, here's the thing. Those words were clear in their meaning to those who first heard them. I mean, especially John the Baptist and his disciples, and the gospel writers and readers. Many Jews in Jesus' day believed they were living under the curses listed in the Old Covenant, in Deuteronomy chapter 28. In that Old Testament book, there's this list of curses if Israel doesn't follow the ways of God. And it includes things like fever, skin disease, blindness, insanity, and a number of unpleasant physical conditions, including death. And Jews knew that they had disobeyed the covenant, and many believed they were living under those very curses. And by the time of Jesus, there was great speculation, or hope might be a better word, that there would be a time when this judgment would be lifted. And the reason they thought that is because there was a biblical book written after Deuteronomy, but long before Jesus, called Isaiah. And in Isaiah, there are all these promises about the lifting of the covenant curses. And it all involves this sort of lifting of the diseases on Israel. So Isaiah 29 says, in that day, the deaf will hear, and the darkness of the eyes of the blind will see. Or in Isaiah 35, we read, the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Isaiah 61 has a similar list of things about the lifting of the curse. Now, here's the thing. Jesus' exact words back to John the Baptist in that passage in Matthew and Luke I just quoted are brimming with significance. He answers John's question with a précis of his own activity deliberately couched in the language of those Isaiah promises. To quote it again, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. Now here's the thing. Jesus' powers, his signs, his miracles, are not a party trick designed to enhance his reputation. Still less were they a model for contemporary faith healers. They were a specific message to ancient Israel. They signaled the end of the time of judgment and the beginning of renewal. Now, I'm not saying that's all that the healings of Jesus mean. There's much more to his healings than that, and we'll no doubt cover that in future episodes. But the thing I just want to underline for now is that, as with so much of Jesus' life, things he said and did only make sense when we read those words and actions against the backdrop of the Old Testament and what ancient Jews were saying around the same time. This is not to say that the miracles of Jesus don't have ongoing significance and a message about his compassion and the renewal of the whole world. They do. But first and foremost, they were a message to his own people, to ancient Israelites conscious of being under God's curse. The message was, the time of favor is now. The curses are being lifted. There's an invitation to begin again. You can press play now.